Thank you, Jesus. He lifted me out. Praise God. Lifted me out. Praise God. Have a Bible turn to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto you. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which ye have heard from of him, declare unto you, that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, he said we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You and I have enemies this morning. Everything has enemies. Bugs have to watch out for birds. Birds have to watch out for cats. Cats have to watch out for dogs. Dogs have to watch out for cars. Everything has an enemy. You have an enemy. And right here it is in verse number 7. He says, cleanses us from all sin. See it? Sin. That's your enemy. Verse 7. Circle that. Sin. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, there it is. Sin. That's your enemy this morning. Sin is your enemy. Rebellion towards God and his will. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, see that? S-I-N-S. Sins. He said in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, you see that? He says in verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, look at verse 2, and he is perpetuated for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You and I have a sin to battle. We have to battle sin. And when you get saved, 1 John tells you how to battle sin. When you get saved, God doesn't intend for you to continually sin, continually practice sin. A person who continually practices sin is not saved, never has been born again, doesn't know the Lord. So in chapter number 1 here, John tells us that if you got the real stuff, then it's been revealed to you. Verse number 1, that which was from the beginning. John, you and I got saved from the beginning. There's some things happened when you got saved, immediately when you got saved. At the beginning, God gave you eternal life. And boy, he saved you. He said, which we have heard. He heard Jesus. Heard him. Think about that. John heard Jesus, which we have seen. He seen him with his eyes. He said, which we have looked upon. He looked upon him, and our hands have handled. Isn't that something? Of the word of life, the real life, is revealed. If you were God, how would you go about revealing people to you? Of yourself. Well, what God did was he created this whole world. The Bible says the creation shows that God and his handiwork shows they're real God. All these heathen always talking about, well, it's God ordering. Somebody had to put it together. I listened to him on talk radio last night before last. Well, somebody had to put it together, and it sure is orderly, and it sure is here together. And you see, they can't see God. So what man did in Romans chapter 1 is he cut the tree down, made it into an image like himself, and fell down and worshiped the creation, like Al Gore. All these environmentalists, they worship creation. They worship nature. And they don't come to church on Sunday. They head to Gatlinburg or head to some mountains because they want to be closer to God. Hey, friend, you can't get no closer to God than you are right now in this building right here right now. This is the place where God said meet him. This is the place where he brings you to. This is the place where he saved you and put you in. God established the church. He don't want you out wandering around on Sunday morning out in the mountains getting close to God and nature. You get close to God, you come to church. He said, notice I handled the word of life. You see, God revealed himself, and then he put the Bible. The Bible reveals God. Every page, Genesis, Revelation, is about Jesus. Every page in the Bible is about Jesus. So man, you know what he did? He went about changing the Bible. So he had to get a Bible like this, so the Bible warns you about changing the words in this book. And so that's what man did. He changed it. He wanted to get a Bible fit him. And so then God's final way to show people himself, he sent his Son. Philip said in John 14, he said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip said, it suffices us, it satisfies us to show us the Father. Philip said, if I've been with you so long time, you still don't know the Father? Jesus came to reveal the Father. And they couldn't get it. They crucified him, put him in a grave, thought they was rid of him. He rose the third day. The life that is real is revealed. It's revealed. You know how you reveal your life? The same way Jesus revealed himself. Notice these three words very carefully. Notice this. Philippians tells us, holding forth the what? The word of life. Look at that right there. He said, handled of the word of life. He's called the word of life. That's the name for Jesus there. The word of life. Why is that? Because, you see, your words reveal you. See, after a while, if you hang around you and stay with you, we'll find out what you're interested in. You know, hang around most people, and they're interested in their ailments. Talk about their ailments. Talk about their body aching and hurting. Hang around some people, talk about their financial problems. We can't hardly make it, can't hardly go, ain't got gas enough this, can't pay that bill. Bill collector call, we're behind. Bill. That's all we're talking about. You know what they're interested in? They're interested in somebody giving them an entitlement so they can get through life because they're tired of working. Oh, you listen to people very long and talk, and they say, people talk about other people. Small minds talk about other people. Great minds talk about things. And after a while, if you hang around somebody and you stay with them long enough, through them, you see, he's revealed the word of life. Peter said, thou hast the words of life. Your mouth tells us where you're saved or lost. Just like Jesus revealed himself by his word. You want to find out about Jesus? Read the Bible. Starting in the Gospel of John, by the time you come out, you'll know all about Jesus. Hey, listen, he revealed him by his word. That's how he revealed himself. The life that is real. You got what's real? I'm talking about what's real. I ain't talking about what's phony. You got the real thing this morning? Then if you got the real thing, it's been revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Your words reveal what you believe. Your words reveal what you feel. How you feel. And see, after a while, hang around you very long, we'll find out what your real interest is in life. And people that are not talking about Jesus didn't get it. Because, hey, it's just virtually impossible for God to save a man or save a woman and change them and do all those wonderful things for them and then not talk about it. People got, I noticed this morning, people all over the place showing pictures. What are you doing that for? Well, you're proud of that stuff. You want it to be revealed, and there's your family. You're happy about it. You see, you're talking about it because you love it, and that's your family. And that's the way people are during the week. They talk about Jesus because they love him. And when you love him, you talk about him. Everywhere you go, you talk about him. Jesus. They can call you a Jesus freak. I mean, you're so busy talking about the Lord. And the life that is real is revealed. God reveals it to you through the Holy Spirit, through his word. He tried creation. He tried the Bible. He tried his son. But his God revealed it to man through his word. Look at 1 John 2 and verse 22. 1 John 2 and verse 22. Notice what he says. He says, who is a liar but that deny that Jesus is the Christ? That's the Mormons. The Mormons deny that. Mormons are liars. Mormons are liars. Hey, Jehovah's Witness, Jehovah's False Witness are liars. The Christian Scientists are liars. All cults are liars because they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you see that? Is that in your Bible? Read it there. Notice this. Who is a liar? Who is a liar? But he that deny that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Hey, these Mormons are lost. These Jehovah's False Witnesses are lost. These Church of Christ are lost. And if they hadn't found those five water verses in the Bible, they wouldn't have a doctrine at all. And then took them out, lifted them out of context, and built a doctrine on it and started a church. And they deceived millions of people with water baptism. Liars. Well, how do you find out? Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, that's saved people. These are saved people. Beloved, believe not every spirit. See that? Brother Bob Jett pointed that out this morning in Sunday school. Did Bob Jett point that out in Sunday school this morning? If you wasn't asleep, he pointed out there's a big S and a small S. Did you hear that in Sunday school? Did you hear it? All right, if you heard it, then you know this is a spirit of the world. But try the spirits, where they are of God. Tracy, put the test to them. Take the Bible and test them. And everything that says that Jesus is not the Son of God is a liar. He says, because many false prophets are gone in the world. This world is filled with false prophets. They're on every corner. They're on every TV station. They're everywhere. False prophets are everywhere. That's why Paul warns you, if you're going to make it in the last days, you know the doctrine and the manner of a man. You know about a man. Amen? I don't know nothing about Benny Hinn. You know anything about Benny Hinn? I don't know nothing about Benny Hinn. I don't know nothing about Oral Roberts. Do you know anything about Oral Roberts? Then you should know. He said, hereby I know the Spirit. See that capital S there? The Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. You see that? So you can tell there are absolutes in the Bible. There are no gray areas. It's either black or white. That's why people don't like the Bible. That's why they hate it. That's why they want it out of school. Look, if you will, back at 1 John chapter 1. He said, then the word of life came and revealed to us. And then when it was revealed, when you get around Jesus and life is revealed, that is real and you experienced it, then something takes place. There's a change comes. If what you have is not changing you, then you ain't got the real thing. Verse 2. He said, for the life was manifest. You know what that word means? It means revealed. For the life. I'm talking about a genuine 110% Christian. For the life was manifest, revealed. We have seen it and bear witness. See that? And show unto you that eternal life. And that was with the Father and was manifested or revealed unto us. You see, that life is real. It's experienced. I experienced it on October 6, 1967. I experienced it. Nothing could change me. My teachers couldn't change me. My parents couldn't change me. Preachers couldn't change me. Sunday school teachers couldn't change me. Listen, I was hell-bent and on my way to hell. But Jesus, one day, through His Holy Spirit, convicted me, put me under heavy conviction, and I bowed to that conviction and gave my heart to Christ. And I got saved, and I experienced that, and I know I got the real thing this morning. Look, if you will, at 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 3. And hereby we know, you see, 30 times in these 5 chapters He said you can know. Today they say you can't know if Jesus is virgin born. That's a lie. Today they say you can't know if the Bible is literally true or not. That's a lie. Hey, they say, well, you can't know if the resurrection is true or not. That's a lie. They say 30 times in these 5 chapters, He says you can know. You can know, you can know, you can know. Because the Bible is absolute. Watch this. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, Brother Raleigh, would you say that this year, that on the tithing record, that there's some people in this church that you wouldn't say it, and you don't want to say it, and you and your wife are the only ones that ever see what people give here. I don't see it. Nobody else does unless they've asked you, and that's private so that you haven't seen anybody else. But isn't it true that this year, that when you looked at some of those tithe records, you said, listen, these people are not obeying the commandments of God, and I believe they're lost. Because tithing is a commandment from God. And you see, tonight there's a boy going to be baptized. He got saved. You see, baptism is not, well, I'll think it over. That ain't in the Bible. When you get saved, you immediately stop and say, I'm going to get baptized because that's a command. Hey, I'm in church tonight because it's a command. God didn't say if you feel like it. No, if you want to, He said it's a command that you forsake not to assemble yourselves together. And He said, if you willfully walk on the blood of my Son, I'm going chasing you. And if you're without chastisement, then you are a bastard. You ain't never been saved. Don't care how many people patting you on the back saying you are. You reading this? We're going to separate the men and the boys here. Here we know we keep His commandments. If you don't keep God's commandments, you ain't got it. You never experienced it. Verse 4. He that saith, see that? He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Liar. Man says, I can't tithe. You're a liar. God didn't save you and then not give you the means to tithe. When God saved you, He gave you the means and the ability. Paul said, I thank you, Lord, that you have enabled me to do the ministry. Hey, God didn't call you to sing and then not give you the ability to sing. God didn't call you to preach and not give you the ability to preach. God doesn't tell you to tithe and then not give you the ability to tithe. Hey, listen, He gives you money every week. Somebody in this building, this very week, God has given you money. And that's how He carries on His work. How could God carry on this work if people didn't tithe? If they didn't give their offerings, they give faith promise. How could that be? So when God saved you, He gave you money. And right now, some of you got God's money in your pocket, or you spent God's money on something else. And when you say you can't tithe, you're a liar. You're a bold-faced liar. When you say you can't come to church, you're a liar. You go everywhere else. You go fishing. You go hunting. You go to the grocery store. You go to the mailbox. You go to the post office. You go visit your kids. You go over yonder. You go here. You go there. But when it comes to church, you got ailments that carry that. You're a liar. And God's going to get you. It's just a matter of time. Look at this. But whosoever keepeth his word, we're flipping the coin now. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him, verily is the love of God matured. You see, God wants you to mature. You see, every time a child comes to you with a broken toy, and you give him another toy, then he goes through life thinking that every time he has a problem that he goes to you, you replace that toy with another toy, the broken toy. See, God doesn't do that. God matures you. He grows you up. He doesn't give you everything. He doesn't pamper you and pet you. He doesn't do that. He lets trials and tribulations come into your life to mature you, to grow you up. That's why it'd be good sometimes if you'd cut off some of these big old grown kids that are now 25 years old that still won't take care of their children, won't take care of their wife, and they come and bum off you and bum off you and bum off you and bum off you. They will never mature. They will never mature. They'll never grow up. You need to get broke. You need to get broke. Until you get broke, they'll never mature. They just keep sponging off you and sponging off you, and they'll always live in that substitution. See, God doesn't live on substitution. He lives on transformation. See, I can call my friend up here, and a friend can give me substitution, but he can't give me transformation, and God gives me transformation. See, God matures me. Are you a mature Christian this morning? This is about the key, isn't it? Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You see, when the love of God is perfected, you do what you do maturely because you love God. Hey, you get out of that stuff of losing your temper all the time and being angry all the time and not tithing and not reading the Bible and not going. You're a mature Christian and you overcome. Look at this now. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 and let's look at this. I write unto you, verse 12, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for your namesake. I write unto you fathers, see, you mature. There's different types of people in their sons and their fathers and their people who are mature. Listen. Hey, listen. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen to me. Here's Katie. Come up here, Katie. This is Katie. Katie is not on the level I'm on. Come on up here. She ain't on the level I'm on. She's a child. I'm a father. There's some people in the congregation ought to be fathers. But they are children, always playing with toys. Some of you guys, you have never, I preached a sermon a while back and you still ain't forgot it. Some of you guys still can't put away childish things. You still a child and still playing child's games. While your wife is languishing over there and needs love, the family needs direction, the family needs help. And where are you at? Playing. You're not maturing. Now, if I get on Katie's level, we got some massive problems here. Massive problem. Katie is maturing. Now, the Bible says, train up a child in the way which ought to go when it's old, not depart from thee. What that means is the way that child is bent. Katie right now is being bent toward the things of God. And if they don't keep bending her that way, I'll tell you real fast, she'll be in the world. Thank you, Katie. See, some of you folks in here ought to be mature enough to say to some of these folks, hey, you know you need to grow up. Hey, you know that bunch of junk you tell me about you sick all the time and got backaches and toe aches and all that stuff don't come to church. Hey, man, what's wrong with you? See, you're afraid to do that because that's your buddy and that's your gossiping buddy and you're afraid he'll gossip on you like he's doing everybody else. So you pet him and grin. The most superficial hour in America is Sunday morning. Look at that. He said, fathers, watch this. He said, you young men, verse 13, I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because ye have what? Ye have what? Overcome. What year will it be this year that you're going to overcome? Overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children. Now, Brother Darrell's going to take some of our teenagers and go down to St. Augustine and help Brother Terry. Wouldn't that be something if Brother Darrell says, hey, I think that's just a goof off here a little ways. We ride, got along right there. How about when you kids ain't got no driver's license, come up here and drive the van? Whoopity, whoopity, whoopity. And that's your kid in the van with him. Somebody passes him coming out of Florida and says, hey, I saw your church van, I saw your youth director. He's sitting in the back hollering, whoopity, whoopity, hallelujah. Hi, well, it's wonderful. And I seen one of the kids up in no driver's line driving. Why, you'd get a hold of him right away on his cell phone, wouldn't you? What's going on, Brother Darrell? That's your kid in there. No, he's a father. He's mature enough to take your kids from here all the way to St. Augustine and bring them back. He's done it time in and time out and time in and time out. Done it time and time again. You have to mature. Listen, it's a missionary. Well, I'm a missionary. Hey, after a while, you visit all the independent churches within a 5-mile radius of this church. Hey, after a while, you got to grow up and go beyond that. You can't just stay right here in the clover. You got to get out there in this briar. And that's why some folks don't make it to the missionary. They don't like the briars. They want the clover. He said, you overcome. But let's go back to 1 John 2 and verse 5. Whoso keeps his word, him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. You know what? When you're maturing. And the real life is experienced. And boy, I can tell you how I got married. You know why? Because I got married. Before I got married, I couldn't tell you nothing about marriage. But after I got married, I could tell you something about it. Hey, I couldn't tell you anything about cancer. But after I got it, I can tell you a whole lot about it now. I know it from A to Z. I didn't know nothing about it. Hey, and I didn't know nothing about the Christian life until I got saved October the 6th, 1967. I didn't know diddly squat about being saved. But you better not fool with me now, because I'll hurt you. I know something about being saved. And you didn't know nothing about being a sailor or a marine or an army man until you joined the services. And when you did, now you can tell me something about boot camp. Hey, I can't tell you anything about boot camp. I didn't stay but 2 weeks. Hey, but a guy who stayed all the way through and graduated, hey, he can tell you something about boot camp. And a man who can't tell you he's saved, he starts stuttering around, he ain't got it. Amen? You got it this morning? All right. Now, when you got it, look at verse 3. He said, boy, you got it revealed to you. Hey, Jesus is revealed to you. Hey, you know more about Jesus than you do anything if you're saved. And then you experience it. Right? And Brother Raleigh knows that old Brother Dennis is living what he's talking and living what he's barking because he looks at my record. You can look at my record if you want to. You can take a look at it. Anytime you want to see Brother Ross, I don't look at the preacher's record. Just take a look at it. How about you? Can we do that for you? Take a look at yours. Anytime you want to put it up here on the wall, pass it out. Can we do yours? Well, you're always moaning about how the church ain't got nothing, the church ain't doing nothing, and I always thinking while I'm talking to you, you don't ever give nothing. If you don't give nothing, what are you barking about? I mean, you got a dog, you giving him dog bones, and he's your dog, he's licking you like a man. I was downtown Spartanburg, and I was sitting down there at the old Piedmont Cafe, and I was sitting there, and I was talking, and here come a man up through there, too. Here come two bums up through there out of the railroad tracks. They've been down there drinking, and there's a dog, and I said, that man, I said, who you think that dog belongs to? He said, I don't know. You know? You met him? I said, no. But I said, we'll see in a minute when they park where that dog goes. And so it wasn't long. One of them went this way toward the courthouse, and one of them went this way towards Floyd's mortuary, and the dog went towards the courthouse. See, it don't take long to figure out who you belong to. I just watch your life 365 days a year, and I see you out there in the world more than I see you at church. I say, you know what you got? You either got a total load of carnality, or you ain't never got it. Amen? Well, you're doing good this morning, preacher. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know. Verse 3, that we which have seen, that and heard, what's that word there? You got to tell it, boy. You know what you do? You have fellowship. You see, man is lonely. If you don't believe man is lonely, I'll tell you what you do tonight. You just go look in Applebee's, Old Charlie's, VIP Club, Red's Grill, and you'll see the parking lot running over. And you'll see dark lights, and you'll see a whole lot of booze. You know what those people are? Lonely. You know what they're hunting? Fellowship. You know what God did? He saved you, put you in the church, because you need fellowship. Hey, listen, and if you think you can make it alone, you can't. See, all logs together make a big fire. If you take one log out, put it on the side, it'll die and burn out. And you will die and burn out. God designed that you become a group and have fellowship. And what you're here today is, you're here refueling your tank. You're here getting fellowship. And so you can go out and declare what God's done for you. And God put you here because you needed fellowship, because you were lonely. That's why a man drinks. That's why a man has all kind of sex. That's why a man spends all kind of money and gets involved in materialism. He's lonely. Some of you in here this morning lonely. There's a little old boy in here this morning. I watched him since Sunday school. He's about 12 years old. He has a capital L written on his face. Lonely. Lonely. He tried to get along with Daryl, couldn't get along with Daryl. Tried to get along with his parents, couldn't get along with them. He sits there with his hands, head in his hands, and every Sunday morning he's lonely. You know why? He ain't never got saved. He's trying to pretend to be something in the midst of all this Christianity, and he can't get it because, see, he won't give up his rebellion. See, when you get saved, you got to give that stuff up, that rebellion, that boozing, and he won't give it up, so he's going to stay lonely. And there are lonely people in this building. There are some of you that are lonely. There's some lonely wives in here this morning. There's some lonely husbands. You know why that is? It's because you have never matured in your love. You never got to the place to where you still love one another and tell one another you love them. And it's gotten old now, and it's gotten into a ritual. And the reality is you are having a bad marriage and will never admit it until it snaps. You're lonely. Look at it. He says, we may have fellowship with us. Watch that now. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You see, fellowship. That's why people go to dances, go to movies, go to rock shows. Is because they're looking for fellowship. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ will fellowship with you. You need fellowship? You lonely? Hey, you know what? Bears and lions roam alone. Eagles roam alone. Bears do not run together. Lions do not run together. The animals that run together are sheep. Sheep run together. That's why God put you in the church, because you need the fellowship, and a sheep does not like to be out of the pack. Dangerous for a sheep to get out of the pack. Wolf get him. So you see, you got fellowship. Our fellowship, declare it. See, what you do is you declare it. Now, once you get to life, it's real, and once you've experienced it, and once you start sharing it and declaring it, guess what's going to happen to you? Well, verse 4. What's this? And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Brother Daryl and them is going down to Florida. They're going down there to witness, going down to pass out tracts, going on a missions trip. Hey, you know what they're going to have? Full joy. Why? They're going to do what God saved them to do, and that's try to reach a lost and dying world, and therefore they know they're saved, they've experienced it, they understand God, they're going to declare it, and therefore they got full joy. You got full joy? Do you have full joy? I was telling Brenda Roop last night about a Japanese guy here in town. He owns this big restaurant. So it's Christmas, so I sent him a bunch of Christmas flowers. Them straight to this bar. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. How about you? Did you do anything for Christmas to try to get somebody to God, or were you so busy out there and you forgot all about people going to hell during this season? I'm serious about this. I'm talking about Christians went through this whole month here, and it's almost over, and ain't thought a thing about anybody dying and going to hell. Listen, do you ever do anything with anybody like that? Do you ever send anybody a flower with a gospel track and say, you know, I love you? Listen, you know what? I was riding down the road at 10 o'clock of the night, and I was riding down by Dave Edwards' Toyota, and the wind was blowing. You know how that wind was blowing? That chill wind coming in from Canada was blowing? And he had this humongous American flag out there, and it just blowing the wind. I was out there, and I was coming back late from visitation, and the flag was blowing, and he had all these mini flags blowing all over this corporation. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see. So I went home, and I just sat down, and I said, Dear Mr. Edwards, you know they got an address in the phone book. Dear Mr. Edwards, my name is such and such. I do such and such, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm riding down Reedville Road, and I'm seeing all these beautiful American flags flying. And those boys over yonder are losing their legs and their arms and their limbs, and they're over there dying, and there's people are burying their loved ones at Christmas time, and they're for America so we can be free. And I said, boy, it's beautiful to see those flags flying. I said, it makes you proud to be an American. And I mailed it to him. Hey, you ever think about doing anything like that? Sharing it. When you get saved, you just got to share it. You just got to tell it. You just got to sing. Did you see Brenda Roop's face over there? She said, just glowing. I thought, how could she be glowing here at Trinity Baptist Church? You people are so miserable this morning. Dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, listen, brother, you could throw a dead fish in here and he wouldn't even flop. Hey, listen. I mean, this thing dead as a hammer on Sunday morning. I said, how can she be over there happy about he brought me up and took me up and all that stuff and all that shout? And there's Samantha, and well, there she is all happy and glowing. I said, how can they do it? You see, they were sharing. And the happiest you'll ever be is when you're sharing. As long as you're taking in, you're miserable. And your joy shall be full. Full joy comes from seeing somebody else besides yourself and giving up. When I was in the cancer ward, there's a preacher came to see me, and he collects eagles. Hundreds of them. I preach for him. Hundreds of these eagles. I mean, they're on the walls, they're on the tables, they're enshrined in glass cases. I ain't never seen so many eagles in my whole life. Well, he come to visit me, and I'm going up down the hallways, and I got these music boxes, and I stop at this nurse's station, and I say, you know, lady, I sure do appreciate you doing this. There's some great nurses up there at General Hospital. One of them sitting right there back in the back. Patsy Turner's a great nurse. They love her up there. Doctors love her. She's a wonderful nurse. She comes to our church, and I'm just proud that she comes here. But I gave the music boxes to these nurses. And so this guy, he decided, hey, I never seen that before. So he told me a day, he said, you know what I did? He goes to the hospital a lot. He said, I went down to the hospital and I had a bag. He said, I got a pillowcase and put them eagles in it. Put part of them eagles in that pillowcase. And said, so I went down to the cancer ward where you was at. And I walked through those rooms and walked in there and said, ma'am, you don't know me. But a crazy preacher's got me doing something I never dreamed I'd ever do. And he reached in that bag and he took out an eagle and set it down on that table where that cancer is. That cancer is ravishing. Ravishing. Ears and tongues and throats and stomachs and backs. And put it down there and said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you and there's your gift. He said, you know, he called me on the telephone weeping. He said, preacher, the room just lit up. I said, what did you have? Before that, he said, I got joy, man. I got joy. I said, you'll keep it. Long as you understand, it's reaching out, not taking in. It's reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. Oh, I'm trying to show you something here. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Honey, if I got any money over there, I got like any ones or fives or tens or anything like that. Huh? I'll take some of that out for me, will you? May I show you what prayer is? May I show you what it... You know what they said in chapter 11? They said, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us to preach. Teach us to teach. They didn't say, they said, teach us to pray, Lord. And so he taught them. Now, here's Jesus walking along with these guys. And boy, he's our Heavenly Father. Oh my God. Oh my God, he's our Heavenly Father. Oh my God, he's my Heavenly Father. Hey, he's our Heavenly Father. Oh man. Hey, he's our Heavenly Father. Hey, he's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Just like Jeff Turner's a father. Boy, have I watched him raise these kids. Clothe them. You kids, man, you kids spoil rotten. I mean, Jeff and Carol Turner spoiled you rotten. You so rotten, you stink. I've watched them for 20 years spoil you, buy you fine clothes, give you fine education, watch over you. I've watched them sacrifice. And boy, they're proud of you. Hey, your dad, man, he loves you. You don't come in here looking like a ragamuffin. My Heavenly Father clothes me and looks after me. Now, I'm going to show you something. Oh, I'm going to show you something. Hey, listen. Do you know what? You know what they call this right here? They call it bread. Hey, man, you got any bread? You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? How many of you ever heard that? Hey, man, you got any bread? Yeah, man, I got some bread right here, boy. You ought to see the bread I got. I got some bread. Yeah, man, I'm loaded. Yes, sir, buddy. Pa, I'm walking. Huh? You got some bread? Huh? All right, now, Luke 11. I got to get done here because I got to go. I'll just wind back up here tonight. Notice this. Luke 11. Look at Luke 11, 5. And he said unto him, which of you have a friend? And shall go on him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Midnight, 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 midnight. See, right now you ain't talking. Right now you ain't talking. But how many of you in here have walked the floor? I know Ricky and Sue Coker have walked the floor. He's taking care of his dad. His dad's up in years. He walks the floor. He ain't doing it in here. But there are nights when him and her walk the floor. There are nights when Rod and Linda walk the floor. There are nights when Jody and them walk the floor. Hey, you don't see it. While you're in bed sleeping, they're up moaning and groaning and crying and shedding tears and walking through the valleys of valleys at night. You see, at nighttime, that's when God's there. And at nighttime, you say, Lord, I'm hurting. Oh, you wouldn't dare reveal that right here in this church. Because you putting up that front, I'm a strong daddy-o. Bull. Call me at midnight. I'll come over to your house. Hurting, man, walking that floor. That baby's sick. Got the fever. You walking the floor. I've done it many a time with 6 kids. Walk the floor with them. Fever, man, raging. That fever raging, hoping to break. Walk the floor with them many a night. While they're about to sleep. Hey, look here. He said, friend of midnight, lend him 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come. I have nothing set before him. Notice that. Had none set for him. He who shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children within. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise. Notice this, because of his importunity. Hey, listen. God's waiting on his opportunity. See, God, as long as you're trying, God can't do it. So God keeps waiting till you get in a mess so he can have an opportunity to show you what he can do. God is waiting on you to get in a mess so he can show you what he can do. Amen. I got to get on here. Look here. Ask. That's in the continual tense in the Greek. Ask, seek, knock. For everyone asketh, receiveth, findeth, knock. So you read all that. I got to get down here. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of you, father, will you give him a stone? Hey, listen. Hey, you Turner kids. Have you ever went to your daddy and said, Daddy, I need something to eat? And he says, okay. Comes out of the yard and says, hey, here's a stone for you. Sounds foolish, don't it? But you know how many mamas and daddies right now don't give a flip about their kids whether they're eating a day or not? Do you know how many mamas and daddies in this town right here? There are 58,000 runaway fathers in the state of South Carolina right now. Do you know how many kids are going to have to scrabble for something today because they got no father and they don't know the Heavenly Father? But boy, you don't have to do that. You Turner kids don't have to do that. You Carter kids didn't have to do it. I worked 2 jobs and picked up bottles off the side of the road and did everything else. Feed him. I'm a father. Are you a father? Well, we call you that, I guess. You've been moaning and groaning so long, I don't know. Notice this. He said, which you have a father, ask him stone, give him or a fish. Will he give him fish, a serpent, or an egg? And then notice this. If you didn't been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Boy, didn't you do that at Christmas? You just gave good gifts unto your kid, didn't you? You didn't come and say, listen, I hate to tell you, this year we're having a hard time, but I got this at Goodwill. No, you didn't say that. You went down there and put it on a credit card, and even though you was in debt, that's your kid, and you love him, and hey, you went in debt. If you had to go in debt, you're going to make sure that kid had something unwrapped and be happy this Christmas. Amen. Amen, Brother Carter. All right, watch this. He said, how have Father given them? Ask him. You see that? Go to John 16. Same guy wrote John 16. Same guy wrote 1 John, wrote this. John 16, verse 24. Notice this, John 16, verse 20. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, as you shall receive it to joy me before. As you shall receive it to joy me before. What? To joy me before. Okay, so I say, Lord, I need to help me somebody. I ain't got no bread. I got some people hurting, need help. I ain't got no bread. And so the Lord says, here's you some bread. And I say, here's you some bread. And boy, when I give him some bread, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, cast thy bread upon the waters. And it won't be long until it'll be coming back. But if you don't cast it like fishing, you ain't getting nothing, friend. If you're sitting in the boat all the time fiddling with the worm on the hook, 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 you don't ever get it in the water, you ain't getting no fish. If you've been fishing, people always fiddling with the hook, fiddling with the hook, fiddling with the hook, fiddling with the hook. You got to put the hook in the water. The only time Linda Carter's ever went fishing is a guy asked me at Faith Baptist Church to go fishing. And he thought my wife's going to wear breeches. That's the reason he asked me. Hey. And so when we showed up in a dress, he said, "She going to go in a dress?" I said, "Yeah, we're going fishing." Anyway, I didn't know we were going tumbling. Fishing, ain't we? What we going to do, fish? Fish. She got in the boat. We rode out to Lake Greenwood. She's in a dress. She didn't know about fishing. He said, I'll bait her hook, put the hook in the water. She said, "I think something's on the line." It was. Pulled it up, and it was a great big old bass. He said, "Man," he took it all, put it in a little box of ice there and stuff. And he baited his head and put it again. He put it in the water, and Linda sat over there and chewing gum. She'd never been fishing before in her whole life. She'd never been fishing the whole life. She'd never had a fishing pole in her whole life. Put it in the water. She said, "I think it's something on this line." He pulled it up, another bass. Put it in the box. He baited her hook, put it back over there, and put it in the water. He's trying to get his pole in water because he wanted to show us how great he was because he had the biggest boat, and it was almost bigger than Noah's. Had a big boat. We had to get a ship ahoy! I do a bit. I do a bit. We're coming to bit. And so he put a hook on the put bait on the hook, put it in the water. Wait a little bit, 5 to 10 minutes. She said, "There's something on this bass. There's something else on this bone, biting on it." Pull it up, another bass. He said, "Hey, I didn't come out here to bait her hook to go through this. Let's go to the house and fillet what we got here and eat that." I said, "Good." Morty was wrong for being out there anyway. So you see, I just keep talking to God and I say, "Lord, I like to go to Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby. I'm going to Hobby Lobby Monday. Because these Hobby Lobby people give me some money. Give me some bread. This ain't my Hobby Lobby money, is it?" Anyway, you got to watch here, boy. So I say, "Lord, I need some more bread." And the Lord said, "Here it is, right here." So this is what I've been doing for 27 years. 27 years is what I've been doing. I don't get it. You want it, but you don't need it. See? And for 27 years, that's what I've been doing. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. Because my Heavenly Father knows I have need of it before I even ask. He knows what I have need of. Go tell it on the mountain. Old Robert Shuler's son was on yesterday. "But my God shall supply all your riches, all your needs, accordingly to his riches in glory." Have a wonderful evening. I said, "Brother, I'm going to have me a wonderful evening because you just said a verse right there." I said, "Lord, that guy right there just said, I need me some more bread." And I just claimed that verse and I just get some more bread. I've been doing this 27 years. I've been doing it for 37 years. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. I did it this morning. I did it this morning before I preached it. Hey, listen, what about you? I'm going to tell you this and I'm through. This week they're going to bury a man. I had a funeral of a man on 221. He come out of a tavern and the car rolled over 3 times. On the 3rd rollover, he come out of the window, didn't have a seatbelt on, come out of the window and the car mashed him flat and landed on him. When them EMS boys got there, they pulled him out from under the thing, rolled the car off of him. And so they had his funeral down at Lanford Funeral Home in Woodruff. I went down there to preach the funeral and it was standing room only. There were 3 bars there. 3 bars, you could not get in the place. And I was standing there, they put them up in the back, put them on the sides, put them on the sides. The place was packed out with nothing but three different bars because he was a frequent visitor of those bars. And while I preached his funeral, standing in the back was a tall man, a very tall man. And I could feel God. I could feel God on that man. I could feel God talking to him. Stood back there and he just made contact with me just like that. Got in the car to go to the cemetery where Pat Tate is buried. And I said to Linda, "That man latched on to me back there." I said, "That man's under conviction. He's under heavy conviction." I don't know who he is. He's under heavy conviction. He was uncle of that boy. I said, "He's under heavy conviction." So that was Saturday. Sunday morning, he was standing in the back there by the missionary map. I was preaching away and I looked back there and there he stood. I preached, he come down to altar. And I said, "Man," I said, "listen, there's 2 reasons why you're visiting that bar. Number one, you're lonely. You're lonely. You're lonely." His wife was with him. I said, you're lonely. And number two, you're empty. You keep trying to fill up that empty spot with booze and women and all kind of other wickedness. You keep trying to fill it up. But if you accept what I'm trying to tell you right here, I said, you can have joy. Let me teach you how to live. Live for somebody else besides yourself. The self-life is doomed to defeat. He said, let me think it over. This is what he said. Let me think it over. Well, he went to one of those bars. He got drunk. Come out of there. Had a massive wreck. His brother called me and said, get up to General Hospital right away. My brother's in room so-and-so on the third floor. I raced up there, and when I got there, he had the door paneling, a piece of the door paneling, that metal door paneling with that little pointy thing on it, had went slam through here and punctured his lung and turned like this. He'd broke all these vertebrae and broke all these things in his neck. And this man on the end of the bang was drilling holes. He drilled a hole in here, and I was standing there watching, drill a hole in here and drill a hole in here, and put this halo thing on his head, four holes. Then that woman pulled that thing out. As soon as they pulled it out, they shoved that hose in there and sucked around and all that stuff. And there he lay, bloody mess, glass everywhere. He was just a mess. And so I said to the nurse, I know I'm an outsider. I don't belong here. But I said, his brother's out in the hallway. I said, his brother wants me to talk to him. And I said, I got to tell him something. I said, I'm just asking you, can I say a word? She said, sure. I walked over there and looked down into his eyes. He was drunk. And I said those words to him. You remember that altar at Trinity and that altar call? I said, you're about dead here. He said, sure enough. And I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he asked God to save him laying on that table. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart and save me now. I'm a wicked sinner. And he asked God to save him. A few months went by, and there he stood in the back with that halo on. He came forward. Never hit the altar. Had to stable him. That thing was so heavy. Had to stabilize him so he could kneel down. His wife's on one side. I was on the other side. My wife's on the other side. And he made a public profession of faith. Listen to me. He got away from God. He got away. They're going to bury him this week. He got away from God. Nice man. Nice man you ever want to meet. Wife was a wonderful woman. You know what happened to him? Watch my hand. Instead of going out like this, he went and turned inward. And you know why the misery is in this church? The misery is because you people are continually turning inward like this. Inwardly, 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 inwardly. And you know what? You are living a miserable life. And God saved you. And you experienced it. And expected you to declare that unto people. That your joy may be full. That you'd be happy. And expected to put things in your hands that you could help other people. And there are people that you can help that nobody else can help. There are people that you can touch that nobody else can touch. There are people that you can reach that nobody else will ever reach. And what are you doing about it? Well, you're sitting down there moaning and groaning about your back aches and toe aches and everything else. Listen, friend. Listen to me. If you want to be happy this morning, you got to understand that song. Brenda and Linda, would you come back to the piano? Brother Raleigh, listen to me. You've got to understand this song. He picked me up. He picked me up. What for? To sit soaking sire? What for? To get rich? What for? To build an empire? No. God will bless you with all those things. But God gave you all those things to be a blessing. I taught at Tabernacle for 5 years. For 5 years, I taught and preached to some of the greatest minds that ever opened the Bible, that ever studied. You can believe that or not. PhDs. Earned PhDs. I preached to them. And in that audience one day was a man sitting out there that had 2 earned doctor's degrees. And I preached on, and I'll be preaching in 3 or 4 churches before the next few weeks is up, I preached on leaving a blessing behind. Leaving a blessing behind. Leaving a blessing behind. I never go to a church.
Wherever you go, when you go out to eat this week, will you leave a blessing behind? Will you say to the waitress, you know, the other day I said to the waitress, she liked these long earrings like Brenda wear, like them long earrings. She got them on now, they dingling, jingling, bingling. And so this waitress, she ain't got nobody. She works for a little minimum wage, you know what I'm talking about. I said to her, you like earrings? She said, I sure do. I love these earrings I got on, she said. They's hanging down here. I mean, you could swim them like a... I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, for Christmas, I'm going to buy you two pair of earrings just like that, that sparkle. She said, for real? I said, for real. And so I bought them, and I went over there, and I special delivered them. And I said, here they are. And so the other night, I went over there, and she's wearing them. She said, look at them. You see them? I said, I see them. Hey, listen, do you ever leave a blessing behind? Do you ever leave a blessing behind? This week, wherever you go, will you leave a blessing behind? Or will you leave your big fat behind there? Somebody wants to kick it. Huh? What will you do? Wherever you go, you ought to leave a blessing behind. That preacher, that guy who is stiff and starchy and like starch had been poured over a suit, he got it. He came up to me and he said, I got it. I ain't never got it before, but I got it. Now everywhere he goes a lot of places, he says to me through the email, I'm leaving a blessing wherever I go, Preacher Carter. I'm leaving a blessing. Everywhere I go, I'm leaving a blessing. Some of you can bake cookies. Some of you can bake cakes. Some of you can make flowers. Ann Welburn and Becky and Pam. Pam just lost her husband. They're putting flowers on Melody's grave. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, in the paper they're putting those soldiers lately that's dying on the battlefield? They got an address there. And you know what? The talking phone book tells you where the zip code is. And all you got to do is flip open the talking phone book and it'll tell you what zip code it goes with that address. And they put the address. You know what? You ought to write a letter and say, Dear Mom and Dad, I sure appreciate your son dying on the battlefield for me. We love you. Thank God for your sacrifice. Put 37 cents on it and you will be amazed what it'll do. You'll be amazed. Hey, listen. Ain't it good to be saved?
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to be celebrating Christmas all year long. I don't celebrate Christmas just the 25th. It wouldn't bother me to leave it up all year long at Christmas tree. You know what? I like to just leave it up. People say, still got it up? Oh, yeah, still up. Christmas over. Not for me, it ain't. Because Christmas is a given spirit. It's a given spirit. You got that spirit? Now listen to me. Stand up. And I want you to get this song. I want you to get this song. I want you to get it. That's all. I want you to get this song. Once you get this song, you'll have full joy and happiness. You'll come back tonight and you'll come running and say, boy, I'm ready, preacher. Give it to me. And I will. Say, give it to me, preacher, and I will. Hey, you got me on the right. I'll get you on the left. I'll get you in the backside. I'll come around and I'll even sucker punch you. Hey, keep you happy. Amen. Even while we holding there and getting our breath, I'll be bumping you on the back of the head with my glove. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray. She's going to sing this song and you're going to get this song. And boy, when we leave here, wherever we go, people are going to say, man, what happened at your church today? You wouldn't believe it, man. I caught it. I understand what life's all about. What's life all about? Here's your $5, man. No. Yeah, damn, boy, I got to get a blessing. I got to get a blessing. Father, I want to get a blessing today. I want to help somebody. I want to lift somebody up. I want to help somebody get a turkey, a ham. I want to help. Lord, I'm envious of Daryl getting to go down to Florida and pass out tracts and see all those people. I'm envious of Brenda and Linda get to sing to all these people. Tell them about God. Lord, today I want to share what you've done with me, what I've experienced. I want to have full joy. I want to be happy. I want to be reaching out. I want to be leaving behind a blessing. I want to be a good Christian. I don't want to be a Scrooge. I want to be full of the power of God. I want to have that love and peace that my Sunday school teacher was talking about this morning. I want to have that joy my Sunday school teacher was talking about this morning. God, help us now. Be with us in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Praise God.